Today's digest for August 16th, 2026. 11 stories today covering AI safety disclosures, valuation math, breach reporting, open source vulnerabilities, developer tooling, high performance computing, and energy funding. It is a heavy Anthropic news day at the top, then we move into the security beat, some very good debugging and tooling work from the open source side, and finish on privacy policy and fusion money. Here's the rundown. First up, Anthropic published a much more detailed explanation of how the new Claude text watermark will actually work. The company is adopting SynthetText, an approach Google DeepMind published in 2024. It embeds a statistical pattern in low-stakes word choices, picking overcast instead of gray, for example, so the signal is invisible to a reader but detectable with the right key. Anthropic says it will ship a detection API. The driver here is the EU AI Act transparency code, which requires a workable way to identify machine-generated content. Generated code carries almost no watermark because syntax leaves no room for synonym swaps, though comments can still carry it. Light editing will not strip the mark. A full rewrite that replaces every word will. Reaction has been sharp, with cancellation threats circulating on Reddit and X. Next, Anthropic's risk report, published August 14th, disclosed that its bioweapon filtering classifiers sat inactive for 11 months, from May 2025 through April 2026. In that window, roughly 50,000 vetted contractors generated about 133 million exchanges on the company's human feedback platforms with no classifier running. The cause was an internal testing flag that switched off both the blocking behavior and the logging, so nothing surfaced the gap to any review mechanism. Anthropic went back and ran Claude Sonnet 5 across the transcripts, flagging roughly 1,200 as high risk. All but 62 traced to internal red teaming or staff, and reviewers found no clearly concerning misuse. The company also raised its catastrophic misalignment rating from very low to low, and the report itself concludes there is an increased likelihood of similar issues it does not yet know about. Moving on to the money. Investors are lining up behind an Anthropic public offering in October at a valuation near $2 trillion, which would be the largest IPO on record. What makes it unusual is the metric. Bankers are pricing off projected 2028 revenue of $190 to $200 billion rather than anything the company earns today. The trajectory behind that is real. A $9 billion run rate at the end of 2025, more than $47 billion by May 2026, and a first quarterly operating profit of $559 million projected for the second quarter of this year. The comparable multiples being cited are Palantir at 53 times expected 2026 revenue, with SpaceX and Cloudflare both around 41. Anthropic is also pursuing a $7 billion acquisition of the Israeli startup Descartes to bring down deployment costs across chip types. On the security beat, researchers at Reko disclosed a campaign they call City Forum that spent 17 months reaching Salesforce and ServiceNow customer portals worldwide, operating from a server at a German hosting provider. The notable part is that nothing was broken. The access came through guest user permissions working exactly as designed, which makes this a configuration and design problem rather than a vulnerability, and that is a large part of why it ran undetected for so long. Specific victim counts have not been published. In the same week, Framework, the modular laptop maker, disclosed a breach after attackers exploited a zero-day in the Metabase business intelligence tool. Customer names, email addresses, phone numbers, physical addresses, and login IP addresses were exposed. Payment information and order records were not. Also, today, a pair of CVAs landed against DBI, the database interface module that sits underneath nearly every Perl application that touches a database. Both are heap out of bounds, writes in the layer that pre-processes SQL statements, and both trace to the same root cause, insufficient validation of numeric placeholder values before those values are used to size internal counters. Only one placeholder style is affected. The question mark and percent S styles already carry the range checking that was missing. Harsh Raj Singhania is credited with the reports. The fix is DBI version 1.652 or later, and given how deep DBI sits in the Perl stack, this is a dependency tree upgrade for most shops rather than a single application patch. On the tooling side, Simon Willison released CORS Chat, a browser-only chat client that talks to any OpenAI-compatible endpoint willing to send cross-origin headers. There is no server component at all. You configure the endpoint and headers, run multiple sessions against different models, keep conversations in local browser storage, and export them as JSON. The nicest detail is that it detects SVG output and renders it progressively as the tokens arrive, so you watch the image draw itself. He built it to compare Qwen 3.827b running locally on an M5 MacBook Pro against the same model on an NVIDIA DGX Spark. and it has been tested against LM Studio, started with the course option, and against OpenRead router. Reasoning traces are supported. Next up, a genuinely satisfying debugging story. Michael Stapelberg tracked down a bug in ZSH 5.9.1 that was silently truncating shell history files, in some cases destroying years of accumulated commands. On exit, ZSH compacts history by reading the whole file and then rewriting it. If a signal such as a control C interrupts that read, the read aborts early with partial data, but the write path never checked the interrupt flag, so it happily wrote the partial result over the full file. He worked down through enotify, then fattrace, then bpftrace, and finally patched ZSH to deliberately crash whenever it wrote fewer than 50,000 lines, so he could read the core dump in GDB and see the interrupt flag set. The fix shipped upstream in ZSH 5.9.2 on July 12, 2026. In research, a new paper describes porting CRESS, a Fortran weather simulation code of more than 250,000 lines, onto GPUs using command line AI agents. The interesting choice is that the whole workflow is built around validation rather than generation. Agents convert OpenMP regions to OpenACC, and every converted kernel is checked against reference output before it counts as done. The team ported 162 kernels with numerical validation and measured a 5.1 times application level speedup on Typhoon simulations. Five kernels came back numerically wrong from floating point precision and intrinsic function differences, and the validation harness is what caught them. The authors are candid about the hard parts. Holding context across long sessions, reconstructing runtime state to validate against, and recovering from static analysis that quietly missed things. Moving to energy. TechCrunch assembled every fusion startup that has raised more than $100 million, and the collective total is $7.1 billion. Commonwealth Fusion Systems leads at $3.94 billion, building Spark for late this year or early 2027, and then Arc, a 400-megawatt commercial plant near Richmond, Virginia, with Google already contracted to buy half its output. Helion is second at $3.2 billion, most recently a $465 million round in June, and has promised electricity to Microsoft by 2028. TAE Technologies raised $1.65 billion before merging with Trump Media in a deal valued at $6 billion. Pacific Fusion cleared $1 billion in Series A funding alone, and Proxima Fusion has $682.9 million behind its Stellarator design. On privacy, TechLore's Henry Fisher pushed back on Cory Doctorow's argument that California's DROP program is privacy theater. DROP is the state's data broker deletion service, and Doctorow's objections were invasive identity verification, mandatory mobile advertising IDs, and a threat model that does not hold up. After interviewing California Privacy Protection Agency Executive Director Tom Kemp, Fisher says base verification is name, birthdate, and address, with the federal login service optional, and the advertising IDs are optional as well. Submitted data is hashed immediately, so a broker can only match records it already holds. Non-compliant brokers face $200 per day per violation, and more than 375,000 people have signed up. His position is to use it, layer other opt-out services on top, and keep arguing for an outright ban. Last one today. TechCrunch published a practical walkthrough for checking whether your ChatGPT, Claude, or Perplexity account has been taken over. All three expose some form of session review. ChatGPT and Claude list logged-in devices so you can sign out selectively, while Perplexity does not show a session list but does offer a single sign-out everywhere control. ChatGPT and Perplexity support multi-factor authentication. Claude went the other direction and dropped passwords entirely in favor of email links. No specific breach prompted the piece. The argument is simply that these accounts now hold your work history, uploaded documents, and connected tools, which makes them worth the same attention you already give your primary email account. That is the digest for August 16, 2026. 11 stories, running from watermark mechanics and an 11-month safeguard gap, through a $2 trillion valuation built on 2028 numbers, to a 5x speedup on a 250,000 lines of weather code and $7 billion chasing fusion. Thanks for listening, and I will see you tomorrow.